T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, Sandy, the aurora's rise behind us. The pier lights, our carnival.
Sandy. Oh, sing it, Bruce. I'm eating a lot of crow tonight. I'm Evan Drellick's Red Sox Review. Final hour of Red Sox Review. Hour 2 of 2. We're going to get some Bruins coming up. Matt Kalman's calling in around 12:10. But I'm eating a little crow, because I sat here and I railed on the decision to get rid of Blake Swihart. Didn't think Sandy Leone would be the difference. Boy, was I wrong. Yeah, let me own that one. Call up Sandy Leone. Everything turns around. And he's hitting. He's hitting. My goodness, is he hitting. All the pitchers are happy. All the pitchers are comfortable. They figured it out. It's a really smart move. 2.5 weeks into the season. Really, just what this team needed to get going. You know, a little home cooking. Let's get back to Fenway. Get the catcher. Get the safety blanket catcher. They got it all figured out, baby. Doesn't really work like that. 617-779-7937. At least the Bruins won. And I asked Joe Cortez, fine producer behind the glass, during the break. I said, what do you got on the Bruins?
You've got
a boatload of thoughts here. Why is the next series going to be bad? How do you get better than beating the Leafs again in 7?
Because it's been done so many times before. I mean, you look at the teams that are sitting out right now. All the quick teams in the NHL are gone. The Bruins are a fundamental team that move the puck around. They get crafty. Columbus is just the same. I mean, they have Panera. They have Duchesne. You know, they move the puck around. And the best part is the Bruins' first line hasn't even showed up. They showed up for one game.
Well, it was by design. It was by design.
Yeah.
To lull everybody to sleep.
Imagine what happens when they show up. This will be next series. They'll go off.
You said to me, even before the show began, that you knew from the very beginning tonight that the Bruins are going to win.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, first of all, Anderson.
Is it because they scored first?
No.
Or is
no, that
it
was
a little bit different
goal
than that?
Okay, Nordstrom, good for you. But he was looking for a pass.
Anderson should have had that.
Yeah, easily. But that's the first start. And I got to give Tuukka some credit. He has been playing his butt off. He has been phenomenal. And, like, you can say whatever you want about Game 3, Game 4, but he has been unreal. And I thought right from the get-go the Bruins took control. They took it off him.
You know, you can throw Tuukka tonight into that same category as Kyrie Irving coming out of the Pacers series, maybe a little bit of David Price after the World Series. All these guys that people rip on constantly. If you don't like Tuukka, if you're in that camp, I don't think there's a more divided topic in Boston. Maybe Al Horford last year. The old Al Horford is good. Thanks for that, sweet Lou Maloney. Tuukka's right up there right now with polarizing people in this city. So does any Bruins fan watch tonight, watch them win this series, and go, yeah, no, still not sold on Tuukka. Not feeling good. It's the same thing with Kyrie. Just the easiest guys to rip on sometimes, and then when they perform, when they do the number one thing that they're supposed to do, you're all quiet. I'll give you the number again. 617-779-7937. It's a good thing we've got the Bruins and the Celtics right now. It really is. It means I don't have to sit up here for 2 straight hours and talk about the Red Sox, because I could do it. Might end up doing it. But they're a mess.
This is late night hour, man. You can do whatever you want.
They're a mess. You know, there's no way around that. And it's not a quick fix. They'll start hitting a little bit more. The starting pitching has started to come back. He's starting to feel a little bit better about Chris Sale. Had 10 strikeouts today. Didn't go deep in the game. You needed him to go deep in the game. Doubleheader. Got to rest a bullpen that just doesn't have the horses. But it would be one thing if it was just the bullpen. All right, you can fix the bullpen. You've got more problems than that. You don't have depth anywhere. Michael Chavis can be the answer to second base, maybe. All right, fix one thing. But there's a lot of little growing problems around the Red Sox. Let's switch gears. John in Watertown, what's up?
How you doing?
How are you?
Pretty good.
What do you got?
The game today, everyone's talking about, like, Tuukka Rask. He's a savior. He's got to do everything. Chara, Bergeron. But the guy is, it's Marchand right now, right? He's like the, you know, the last guy in the league right now with the most points. He's the man, and no one knows it. He's still the rat.
I did see a stat earlier today that the Bruins are, what, 20-1 when Marchand scores in a playoff game?
Yeah. Exactly. No, he's the catalyst. He's the man. No, and I'm telling you, like, everyone thinks about the rat from, like, 2009 or whatever, whenever they won it, 2010. He's legit. He's, like, the best player on the ice for any team left in this playoffs.
Are you going to throw Tuukka any love tonight? Or are you just going to totally avoid that?
Tuukka was awesome tonight.
Just tonight. That's all you get. That's all John in Watertown will give Tuukka. No, he did. He had a good night, but this is really about Marchand.
I got no problem with Tuukka. I'm just saying, Brad Marchand, he's like the stud left in the playoffs. And no one's seeing it. They just remember the, like, slew-foot rat. But he's not that anymore.
Oh, he's a changed man. He's a reformed man. He's not a dirty player anymore. No licking. You think he found some sort of higher spirit, and he's just totally a different guy?
I haven't seen him licking. Have you seen him licking?
I have not seen him licking, but enough about Orchids of Asia. We can talk about that another time. It's a different topic.
He's just that typical player that you look at that everybody hates if he's not on your team.
Marchand is a walking stereotype. If you're a hockey fan, you love that type of player more than I think in other sports. It's the same reason people love Pedroia, the heart and soul guy, wears it on his sleeve, do anything for my teammate. Yeah, Marchand's important, but let's not try to kind of gloss over some of the past dirt there. You want to say he's an important player who's played dirty before? Okay, fine. I don't know if that's really much of a take, though. Marchand's kind of the overlooked guy. No, I don't think Brad Marchand has been overlooked in this market. Let's put it that way. Not in Boston. Outside the market, I guess. Maybe. But the worship for him here is probably beyond what it should be. Am I wrong about that, Joe? Marchand get a little too much love sometimes because of the style of play as opposed to the actual ability.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, you know, it's the old saying where
it's all right. It's after midnight. It doesn't count.
And like, he's one of those guys that when you sit around and look at it, he does everything you need for this team. Now I personally think Pasta has you have difference in age, but Pasta has the better superstar mentality that he'll get there. And the fact that when he doesn't show up, everyone puts the blame, but Marchand, the offense definitely runs through him.
I could be sarcastic and say, oh, they're a real team. But you know what? To some degree, that is what's going on with the Bruins. As opposed to being your Celtics, your hero ball, that's not what you're seeing. Josh in Fall River.
Evan.
What's up, Joshy?
What's going on, buddy?
How are you, man?
Good, man. Hey, I got to be honest with you. I listen to the morning show a lot, and I'm not your biggest fan, but I like you, man.
Ah, you sound just like Jerry Callahan. I appreciate that, Josh. Thank you.
No, but seriously, like, I like you. You're hanging in there. You're on the night show.
Yeah, I'm a regular Martian. I'm a fighter. We do what we got to do.
Exactly. Like, I'm like, you know what? Trellick's on the air tonight. I'm going to call in and talk to him. I like you, man.
Appreciate that. What you got?
But either way, the Bruins, I think they have, obviously, you know, against the Blue Jackets, they play tough, but I think if the Bruins can keep up their play, I think we've got a great chance to go all the way to the finals.
Joe, this team actually going to the finals, they're just lucky that Tampa got knocked out. And thanks for the call,
Bruins
Josh.
Sharks.
That's what we're headed for.
That's what you're headed
you
for.
You said Bruins with a Sharks. Laugh behind the glass that nobody could see or hear. So I don't know if you believe it.
Bruin Sharks.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
All right. Now the green teamers are what do we call the Bruins fans?
Bleeding black and gold.
The black and golders? I don't know if that has quite the same.
No, the bandwagon fans. There's a bunch of them nowadays.
Oh, of course, yeah. That's naturally going to happen. I think we're going to have Matt Kalman calling in very shortly for more Bruins takes. And you know what? A little positivity doesn't hurt. Takes down my agita a little bit. I don't need to be tense and revved up the whole time because that's what talking about the Red Sox does. But I don't know. I actually was kind of hoping Game 7 tonight would be a little bit more of a nail-biter, a little bit more of a thriller. You kind of have all this build-up and you know everybody's tweeting about it. Oh, Game 7. Nothing better in sports. So you won. That's fantastic. We love it when our teams win. But I don't know. Did anybody else find it a 5-1 final a little bit like, oh, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, 3-2? Huge Tuukka save late or something. Just something to kind of build the drama a little bit, but it simply wasn't there. But we do have a man who was on the spot, on the scene. Matt Kalman, my hockey expert. How are you, Matt?
Oh, wait, you own me now? What's that? I'm doing all right.
I own you, baby. No, thank you for calling in. Are you still at the Garden?
Yes.
All right, set the scene for me. Was it as insane as recent history would be at the Garden, more or less?
Yeah, you know, I mean, absolutely. You know what? I think it's hard to tell sometimes how loud the crowd is when the music kind of drowns them out. But it was pretty damn loud and pretty raucous. And clearly when you get the first goal, that's the key. You get that first goal and everything starts to roll. Everybody's confident in the fans. You know, they're maybe on their edge of their seat to start, but then they're out of their seats once you have that lead.
So Joe Cortez, our fine producer here, thinks this opens the door for them to go forward. Are you buying into that at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they are the favorites now. They have the most points of anybody left. This is the scenario as soon as Tampa Bay bailed out. It was the winner of this series was going to be the favorite. Because just based on regular season performance, you know, obviously there's some teams that got hot at the end of the year that are looking really good, including Columbus. But this is the team that's done it more from start to finish in the season, and this is the team that is now the one to beat.
Is that the column we can look for at EI.com? Is that your singular takeaway from tonight?
Yeah, pretty much something like that. You know, gonna have to mention some more about the beer chug. Because the beer chug is huge, so I think that might actually end up being the thing we all look back at and say that turned the season around.
Yeah, but enough about Hags. When we Joe was saying that he felt from the get-go that the Bruins had this, you know, in their pocket very quickly. Did you have that same sense?
The start of the game, you mean?
Yes, tonight. Did you think once they scored first that this was over?
No. The second period was a barrage, and you know, clearly everyone's waiting for Tuukka to give up one softie or something, because that's what this town does. But no, this is not in the bag until Corrali scored. Then you breathed a little easier. But this is a tough one. I mean, there were some great chances there. They were on their heels in the second period, and there's too many great weapons on that Leafs team to think that just scoring that first goal meant they had it.
When do we start to revise a little bit of the Tuukka reputation here? I mean, does this series or recent play earn him anything, or is it too much of an up and down series for us to be sitting here and praising him? What is the latest on Tuukka watch?
I have no idea, man. You know where I stand. I'm the king of the Tuukka apologists, so I don't know where this comes from to begin with. He's one of the all time leaders in save percentage. He went to the final.
Yeah, but Matt, you know it's there. You know there's absolutely a segment that's there.
I know it's there, but I don't know how you fix it. I don't know how. You tell these people stats, you give them results, you show them comparisons to other goaltenders, you explain things to them, and, you know, it kind of reminds me of something that goes on in our country also about somebody else that you can't ever change anybody's mind about. So it's the same thing. It's like the same
thing. I think Mike Manansky does a good job. You know, we don't have to go down that road. I mean, I don't see the point of that. Joe's got a question for
Matt,
you.
Matt, there was a lot of talk about Halak getting a quick, you know, or Tuukka being on a short lease and Halak getting, you know, depending upon how the series went. Where do you think Halak stands now going into the next series?
Well, I mean, obviously there was never even the slightest bit of chance that there would be a change. So, you know, obviously we didn't have to even see how long the leash would be because – I mean, the guy had a 920 something save percentage in this series, and I would say he did not have a bad game. They went seven, and I don't think he had a bad game this whole series. And so You know, but it'll be the same. I mean, it's just, if things start to go south, that's what you have him there for. That's what you you brought him in for. If something goes bad, you can plug him in there if you need be. But Tuukka says he feels good, and he certainly looks good. So, you know, the plan was to rest him during the season. It worked. And right now it doesn't look like you're going to have any changes really at all.
Is the best yet to come from the Bruins top line? Is there more waiting for us?
Yeah, it's going to get harder, though, you know. Now they have to face Seth Jones and Zach Werenski. I know those are your favorite players.
Yes. No, I've got both jerseys.
No, especially Werenski. I mean, he's one of ours, so.
Happy Pesach.
Actually, I think he is, but maybe not. Anyway, yeah, so it's just going to be harder. I mean, seriously, there's, you know, this Columbus team, everyone knew they had talent. Clearly, they were underachieving most of the year, and they made big moves at the deadline, brought in Duchene and DeZingle. And really, you know, turned it up at the end, and they have some tough defensive players. It might not be a good series for the top line again. Of course, you know, Cassidy broke them up a little bit again at the end here, so we'll see how he goes with that in the Columbus series. Maybe they're a little deeper if Pasternak's playing with Krejci. But, again, it might come down to the Corrales and the Nordstroms of the world getting the goals while everybody else cancels each other out.
I love Nordstrom. I go to Nordstrom Rack all the time. Actually ran into Kirk Minahan, of course, at a Nordstrom Rack. Funny story there. Matt, anything we missed here? Anything you would be remiss if you didn't get out on the air right now?
I don't think so. I think we covered all the bases, I think, you know.
Air time. Final thoughts, Joe just Smith whispered in my ear. How many games in the series going?
How many games in the Columbus series?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I haven't even turned the page on the Maple Leafs yet, but I'll tell you. Let's see. I had Boston in 5, and they won in 7, so I'll say Boston in 6, and they'll probably win in 5. How about that?
Beautiful. That was fantastic. Okay. Thank you, Matt.
All right. Have a good night.
See you, Matt. He didn't turn the page. Stop.
That's okay. Neither did Cora.
Stop me if you've heard that line of thinking before tonight. Any great takeaways from Matt for you, Joe, there that you hadn't thought of in your great Bruins assessment?
I mean, I think he hit it, you know, pretty well going in. Where I'm the typical, you know, bleed black and gold kind of guy. We're gonna
the Bruins hat you're wearing definitely didn't give that away.
No. But I mean, he did hit it spot on. It will be tough. It's not going to be easy. I think it's a better matchup for them, but that doesn't mean that.
But
it's
how
scary.
Many times do you look at a second round matchup and go, you know what, this will be easier? I mean, is that ever the case? Ever. Any sport, right? Like, that's kind of the obvious point. But that's okay. That sells. We like the obvious points. 617-779-7937. This is Red Sox Review, but we've got to inject some joy and life into our daily being, because the Red Sox are not doing that for us. So we will talk Bruins. If you want to go Pat's draft, you want to go Celtics, we can go down that road as well. We've got, what, 2 segments left? I'm Evan Drellick. Back after this. 12:18 on now Wednesday morning. Here's what's trending now on WEEI. The Bruins, they won 5-1 pretty handily at the Garden. Game 7 over the Leafs. Marcus Johansson made it 2-0. Nordstrom had the first goal. Leafs battled back with their only goal by Tavares. Made it 2-1 at the end of the second. Start of the third, Corrales sniped one from the left side. Rest is history. Bruins move on to play Columbus. Matt Kalman says Bruins in 6, 5, something like that.
6.
Red Sox, ugly, bad, not good. Swept by the Tigers, day-night doubleheader at Fenway Park. Lose the first one, 7-4. Chris Sale did strike out 10 innings if you're on the silver lining train. Michael Chavis hit a moonshot in the second game. If you're on that silver lining train, but they lost that game 4-2 because they just can't really hit. Tomorrow, the Red Sox back out there again against the Tigers. First pitch, 7:10. Coverage starts right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network at 6:10. Joe Castig and Mr. Mpemba are on the call. Pats, Josh Gordon signed his restricted free agent tender. What does that mean? It means that if he plays next year, it would be for the Pats, but there's no... Nobody's saying that he's going to play at this point. Weather tonight, 48 degrees with a chance of rain. That is the story of the spring. That's what's trending now on WEEI. Let it ride, baby. Hit the post. What would Gary Tanguay do? Still have thoughts for Gary Tanguay, who announced yesterday he has a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He says it's treatable, but again, best wishes and thoughts out to the Gare Bear, Gary Tanguay of NBC Sports Boston, formerly of WEEI. I guess he's still theoretically in the family. He hasn't come into the studio in a while, but really am pulling for Gary, and I do think he will be A-OK. Don't know if I can say the same about the 2019 Red Sox, but a kind of nice thing out of tonight, if you want a little kind of sweet, heartwarming moment. I'm being serious. This is actually kind of sweet and heartwarming. Michael Chavis destroyed his first big league home run tonight. His mother was there. It was a good interview on Nesson with her earlier in the game. If you were watching on the telecast, I know you're listening on the Shaws and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network. I just happened to hear the interview. The ball easily cleared the monster. Way over it. A lot of power out of that kid. Big boy. They managed to get the ball back because all the fan wanted, apparently, I think it was a father and son, according to reports I've seen on Twitter. All they wanted was a Dustin Pedroia sign ball. So that's sweet. Michael Chavis gets his first home run ball. You make the nice trade. And it does go to show that people still do actually like Pedroia. Sometimes you listen to the callers here, and it's a little hard to read that. I'm Evan Drellick, Joe Cortez behind the glass, 617-779-7937. It's Red Sox Review, carrying you all the way until 1 a.m. when, what happens at 1 a.m., Joe?
Best of plays for an hour, and then we stream SB Nation.
All right, best of plays for an hour, and then we stream SB Nation. That should be exciting coming up. If you have Red Sox thoughts, I'm happy to tell you why they're probably wrong. This isn't a it's just early thing. You can chuck the offense up to that. You can say the lineup will be better than this. I don't know if you're going to get much more out of catcher. Second base, now you've got reason to be intrigued by Chavis. Might as well ride that out. See what you got. See if he can do it. See if he can handle the position defensively. See how Brock Holt is looking physically. Same with Pedroia. At this point, you're kind of crazy if you're counting on Pedroia for much. So let's say second base works out. Let's say Jackie Bradley Jr. starts producing something, anything. Okay, offense comes around a little bit. You know, you're not a juggernaut, but you've had a good year from Xander Bogaerts. You've had a good year from J.D. Martinez. You know there's offensive potential. Starting pitching is starting to come around, but you've got a hole now with Eovaldi gone. And what you've done with the hole with Eovaldi gone is you've taken Velasquez, put him in the rotation. There's nowhere really to turn for the bullpen. Travis Lakin's going to be the answer. And I wonder how long the Red Sox are willing to go on this carousel with the bullpen of, well, let's see if this guy can work. Maybe this is the guy. Maybe Thornburg is it. Marcus Walden looks like a dude. Might start seeing him in some later inning, high leverage type of situations. I don't know who else you're going to turn to. But the problem is there's no depth in the bullpen, so all you've got is two guys you rely on in wins and games you're leading, and then when you're down a couple runs, you want to give this struggling offense a chance. You want to let the hitters climb back into it because all year they've been good at that. All last year, too, the Red Sox have been very resilient at the plate. They do not seem to fold in late innings. You saw it tonight again. They can hit, and they almost seem to hit better. I'm sure the stats don't back this up. But they seem almost more comfortable late in the game at the plate than they do early in the game. But you don't have anybody in the bullpen that you can rely on consistently in games you're losing because you're needing Barnes and Brazier in the games you're winning. And even then, they're not perfect. They're not Kimbrel. As much trouble as Kimbrel ran into last year, a lot of walks, he was dealing with a lot of personal stuff. It was not his best season. But the dude could wreck you know what. He could wreck stuff. Even when he got into trouble, he got out of it. I really like the idea I threw out there last hour. Just sign Keuchel and Kimbrel. Just fix his pitching staff tomorrow. Think of the buzz you would steal from the Celtics, from the Bruins. Hey, hell, even the Pats. Do it on Thursday. Do it the day of the Patriots draft. Poke Robert Kraft in the eye. Poke Bill Belichick and Tom Brady if they've stolen the spotlight away from you if you're the Red Sox. And it would be such a departure from everything we've seen in recent years in baseball. I think what made Red Sox Yankees fun was that sense of you are going to outman the other team basically no matter what. It was never no matter what because the Red Sox didn't have enough money to get A-Rod. And you can say that was, you know, for the better in the end anyway for the Red Sox. But that's intriguing in baseball when you have that happen. You know, the Red Sox had this kind of ho-hum winter. You bring back Evaldi, you bring back Pierce, you just keep the band together and that's it. Whatever. You know, who was razzled and dazzled by that? So now you're in the season and you are sputtering. You're not going to fix the bullpen internally. It's really just a matter of when you do it and how you do it. Do you give up more prospects that you don't have? Or do you bite the bullet if you're Red Sox ownership and say, you know what? What's another $30 million? What's another $20 million? Let's do it. Oh, hell. We got two teams to worry about. Yankees are a little weakened physically. They've got a bunch of guys in the DL. Let's inject some life. Joe, did you watch any of the two games today?
A little bit of the first one.
Did it not seem just dead out there? I mean, I know the weather's bad. I know everybody's getting ready for... I was actually down by the Garden. Ran into one of the callers from last night. Felt very, very good about myself.
Oh, nice. Yeah, my sister had to be validated. Today. She started up in Grandstand 18, and she sent me a Snapchat. Like 10 minutes later, she was behind home plate.
It's that easy to move around Fenway right now. It's not, so. You know, I love it that when they let you do that, they should. You know, you make the effort to go to a game when it's not so nice out, not full. You know, the ushers should be nice enough to kind of let you have that upgraded experience. Like, why not? You know, that's how you kind of retain people and fans. That's why they got rewards programs. That's why I'm a baseball writer, just so I can get upgrades at Marriott's. My God, I live for that. That's all you want. But it looked bleak out there. Chris Cotillo of Mass Live, no sharp knife himself, but he did happen to say on Twitter that he thought there was more people in the press box than there were in the stands. I think that's an exaggeration, but it's just a lifeless scene. You need to wait till May or June. You need to wait for the Bruins or the Celtics to win or lose to kind of have the Red Sox stir it up for you a little bit. Go get Keuchel. Go get Kimbrel. It would be the coolest thing. I can't think of anything cooler besides like world peace. You clearly need pitching help. And Kimbrel alone probably doesn't do it. You're out without Evaldi for maybe 2 months, at least a month and a half. Just go all in. You know, buck the norm further. One thing you can say about the way these Red Sox were built is they were built differently than most every other team. Everybody's looking for value and, you know, things that kind of help for the long term. Well, the Red Sox threw all that away. It's all gone. It's all, you know, caution has been thrown to the wind a long time ago. So don't half-ass it now. Clearly, you've got a problem. Hitting's going to come around. The starters who are healthy are going to come around. But what you saw today, when you've got Travis Lakins making his Major League debut in a pretty tight game, I mean, you know, that's not a nothing situation. There's nobody to turn to. The depth in this organization is gone. So rather than kind of force guys into roles they're not ready for, we know that pitching in Boston is not an easy thing. Just go out and add. And you're going to create such a buzz. Would that not perk you up, Joe, if the Red Sox went out tomorrow and signed somebody? If Dombrowski said, screw this, I ain't having this, not on my watch.
I mean, I would love it because they're just destroying the Red Sox for the future. Because I don't know if you know this, but I'm a Yankees fan.
Why are you so sadistic? I mean,
oh, because I'm a New York Yankees fan. I mean, he's already – I mean, go out and get – basically, put it this way, though. If you go out and get Keuchel, you say bye-bye to Mookie Betts automatically.
Why? Yeah, you have to give Keuchel a long-term deal. You could pay these guys through the roof for 1 year. They could afford it. Henry's selling a house, cut the price from $25 to $15 million. That's half a Keuchel right there. I think he's got other homes. He'll be fine. Keuchel and Kimbrel. 617-779-7937. Somebody's got to be with me on that. Somebody's got to see that kind of – and by the way, you say that would destroy them for the future. If you do it on a short-term basis, it's better than trading. You know, you get to the deadline, let's say they get into May, and the bullpen's still just kind of this little carousel. Then you're going to have to give up more prospects. And no, not all these prospects work out. I don't know if you saw this today, but remember Anderson Espinosa, the guy they traded for Drew Pomerantz? He's going for his second Tommy John. That sucks. That's not a lot of
that's,
guys.
That you're gone after that.
I mean, Nate Evaldi's an example. Somebody who came back from it, but Evaldi's,
clearly there's still some issues.
Yeah, that's sad. That's sad to see. Not all the prospects you give up are going to hurt you. Some of them are.
I think Kimbrel's your best bet. I mean, I like the Keuchel thing, but like when you look at it, you need somebody in that back half of that rotation.
I actually think it's the other way around because you add Kimbrel. All right, you're getting, you know, an inning. You know, every two out of three nights, you know, what are you getting on the season? 60 innings from Kimbrel. You add Keuchel. Now you can push, ideally, Hector Velasquez back into the pen. Now you know, you help the rotation and you automatically help the bullpen. It doesn't really work the other way. You add a reliever.
You sub in for missing out Pomeranz from last year, basically.
Yeah, but right, we're saying with Keuchel.
Yeah, you bring in Keuchel and
Keuchel's probably kinda, better.
It replaces, yeah, it definitely is better, but I mean, then again, he had his worst year ever last year, but he's fresh. I mean, he'll have plenty of time to get ready.
Yeah, we could sell it like Julian Edelman. Oh, it's a good thing he was suspended for four games. We'll come back stronger than ever.
Sell for Chavez, good thing he was suspended last year. He's doing great.
Bingo. Fresh arms. They're sitting out there for the low cost of millions of dollars from John Henry and Tom Werner. No prospects. If what you care about is building the organization, which at some point I think they got to care about it, that's the move. It's not Alex Cora throwing a fit. It's not Alex Cora pissing off David Price and Chris Sale and the egos in that clubhouse. There are egos in that clubhouse. Let me tell you firsthand, there are egos in that clubhouse. Probably some egos on the radio, too. Maybe one's emerging right here. I don't know. But you go out. When you sign somebody, then you don't have to throw a chair. You don't have to break, I don't know, a fridge door, which is one of the funnier ones I've heard in recent years. Visiting clubhouse, manager angry, breaks the fridge door, and then, you know, the poor clubbies and for the home team have to deal with the mess afterward. Doesn't help anything. A little angry rant from Cora on OMF. Is he on tomorrow? Is it 2:30 tomorrow?
Yeah, I believe so.
2:30, Cora should be on. Or sometime during OMF tomorrow, weekly interview. You know, Cora can come out tomorrow and say all the right accountability, angry things to Glenn and Lou and Christian. So what? You know, that's why the whole turn the page conversation was dumb. So if Alex Cora stopped talking about last year, the Red Sox would be playing better right now. You know what makes you play better? Better talent, better roster, better preparation. People rail on the media for being too negative and skeptical. The people who should be most skeptical, the people who should be looking at the disaster scenarios, are the people running the team. You're the guy, when you're in charge of a roster, you need to be sitting there and going, okay, wait, well, what if that doesn't work? What about that? Yeah, but I don't know. Pedroia, you know, 2 years now, what do we really believe in that? And I just don't see that from the Red Sox. So now you've made a little mess. Clean it up. Keuchel and Kimbrel. Start the hashtag. They are the solution in the very short term. Because everything with the Red Sox right now is short term. All the way up. 617-779-7937. What, final segment coming up?
Final segment. Finish it up.
Red Sox review. Bruins review.
We
back
got,
after this.
Golden Knights going into overtime.
We'll do some hockey play-by-play. We had Bridget doing it last night. Bridget Prue, college hockey play-by-play expert. Joe Cortez and I are going to do our hockey play-by-play for you when we get back.
Julian Edelman chugging a beer was awesome. probably got everyone fired up, including us. Good for him. We'll return the favor some point down the road. But I thought it was outstanding. But that's Game 7 playoff hockey for you right there.
Right before the last segment, I said to Joe Cortez behind the glass, everybody on Twitter is freaking out about something related to the Sharks. And, Joe, you've now figured out what that is.
San Jose scored four unanswered goals in the third to make it a 4-3 lead with 7 minutes remaining, but not to
the
end.
This is their own Game 7.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is their Game 7. They're going into overtime in about two – actually, no, they're in about 2 minutes right now. But then the Vegas Knights pull the goalie, with 19 seconds left on their power play and ended up scoring to tie it up. So now it's 4-4 going into overtime.
Wild and crazy happenings.
That was the game we were looking for with the Bruins, but I'll take the win.
If you're a Maple Leafs fan, are you just livid at Anderson?
Hang up your jersey.
Really? Is that bad?
Of course. You go out and sign, like, think about it. You go out and sign John Tavares, and you all of a sudden have the edge on the Bruins, and you can't get past. I mean, I get it. Game 7, they gave a good fight, but they expect.
Well, they
only
scored one goal of their own. I mean, you know, even if Anderson stopped two of those other ones, you know, it's still 3-1. You really going to throw it all on him?
Yeah, I'm going to throw it. Well, no, because there was two open goals at the end. So technically, it would have. Yeah, 3-1. I can see that. But, I mean, I give it on Tavares because he wasn't there the entire playoffs. He didn't do anything.
Except abandon the Islanders.
Traitor. Yeah, I know. That was Bush League.
What a traitor. As a New Yorker, we don't appreciate that kind of thing. If you want to get your final thoughts in, 617-779-7937. Carrying you up until 1 o'clock, 12:55, something like that. I'm Evan Drellick. This is Red Sox Review. I just took the leap. I just did it. I don't even feel that courageous, but it did take me a second before I put it out into the Twitter world, because Twitter is what everybody sees. I can talk on here and nobody, you know, doesn't really matter. Twitter, now that's out there. That is taking a leap of faith. And I just said on Twitter, the Red Sox should sign Kimbrel and Keuchel to 1-year deals. I don't think I'm kidding, because it is just money. Like, this is all you're losing if you're the Red Sox. And it's not my money. I don't have any money to spend. Nothing. They don't pay me much, although I don't know if I can complain about that to a producer. You're raking it in, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah. No, my three other jobs are helping this, right?
Do you have three other jobs?
Yeah.
What are your three other jobs?
I wire houses for a company called Sunset Sound Security. I've been doing it since I was in high school. I work for Charter TV.
So you literally walk into a house and deal with the electrical setup?
Low voltage. So all the cool stuff, TVs, home theaters, speaker systems, security systems, all that. So I can wire a whole house just as long as it's not insulated.
So you're the dude when I walk into a Best Buy and I want my TV set up, you're the guy they send over.
Yeah, why not? If you want to pay me $100 an hour.
Not bad.
But
not bad.
It all depends on
Let
that.
Me tell and you, then, better than radio.
It is. I work for Charter TV and I coach baseball in Worcester.
So you have an electrical day job as well as a television?
Television, yeah. Camera operator for Charter TV 3. I do a lot of the Friday Night Frenzy, if you ever heard over there in Charter Sports.
Why are you here?
Why am I here?
Why would you be doing this as a third job?
Because I need to, I got to build a resume so I can get looked at. I don't want to do everything. I want to manage.
You want to be on the air?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, I mean, that'd be great, but I want to manage talent.
You want to be the boss.
Oh, yeah.
So you're coming for Zarbano.
No, you're trying to
get to the top position.
I did intern with him. I'm pretty sure he probably shoved me away, but.
Well, who would do that? You're doing work back there. Fine work. Three jobs, including WEEI. That's because we love our sports and we love our passion. I'm honestly disappointed that nobody has called up and said, yes, Drellick, you are right.
You had a couple.
No, on this Keuchel and Kimbrel point, though.
Oh.
Because you know, what else can you – with the Red Sox right now, all you can really do is kind of sit and stew. You can kind of point out everything that's going wrong. But how do you fix it? Well, if you want to fix it for this year, you've either got to make a trade or you sign somebody. And of the two, if you want to have a little view to the future, the better thing to do is sign somebody, because then you retain your prospects. You keep a bad farm system from getting worse. Just do it. Do it on Thursday. Fenway Park, mystery press conference. Keuchel and Kimbrel walk in, give me the wrestling theme song. Blast Welcome to Detroit City by Trick Trick and Eminem. Something like that. Give me the pyrotechnics. Give me the theater of the Red Sox back. Because it wasn't there the whole winter, and you don't feel it anymore either, because Joe Cortez, the stupid Yankees, they don't go out and spend a ton. You know, they're going to have to pay Aaron Judge at some point.
No, never.
Well, they're not acting like the Yankees of old. Don't you miss that? Don't you miss the direct one-upsmanship that the Red Sox and Yankees used to have? You're gonna add five relievers. You're going to add Zach Britton. To Dylan Betances and Aroldis Chapman, go down the list. Who else is there? Canley, Green, you know, the Yankees bullpen stacked. Are both of them still there?
Oh, yeah. No, Betances has been injured since the beginning of the season.
No, they're all injured. All the Yankees are injured. But it's just gone away. And you know, some of that is like smart business in baseball, and it's all about the business and yada, yada, yada. But from a fan and consumer and media perspective, and forget the storyline, just from like a what gets you excited about baseball, you know, three wins in a row is not going to excite the fan base in nearly the same way it would if Dombrowski and John Henry pulled such a power move. That would be the ultimate power move.
Oh, yeah, right before the draft, too.
We are outspending everybody already. We're all in. We are committed to this vision of the 2019 Red Sox. We're doing it. Screw you. Screw the luxury tax. Screw, you know, labor bargaining. We don't care. We're about winning right now. That's not the approach they took with the bullpen over the winter. They just said, well, you know, the relievers were nice in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they're a day late and a dollar short. Look at the Yankees. The last 2 years, they've needed starting pitching. What did they go out this year and get? Every starting pitcher and reliever they could find.
Big Maple looks pretty good. Is that his nickname? What's Paxton's? James Paxton's nickname because he's from Washington or Canada or I don't know, somewhere in the Pacific Northwest where they do weird things like treat their football players nicely, you know, whatever Pete Carroll's philosophy is out there. We don't like those types of people around here. It's a Belichickian way or the highway. But the Red Sox had clear needs, didn't address them. It's not too late. I'm here to tell you it's not too late. You can join this parade of joy that the Celtics and Bruins are contributing to right now. Biggest Pats draft in what? A decade? Probably. Coming up on Thursday. You need the limelight back. And you need to inject a little life into the clubhouse, too. I think we had a quote from Alex Cora earlier. The guys just aren't having fun right now. Of course, you're not going to have fun when you're losing. But the quickest cure-all, the easiest fix for this year, if you can get these guys on one-year deals, just spend a ton of money. And then you know what? If it puts you in a debt, if you're John Henry and Tom Werner and the other, you know, dozen or so in the ownership group, then just sell the team for $5 billion. That's what they would get on the open market. Never mind the money they get off Nesson or Roush Racing or Liverpool. They can afford it. You know they can afford it. They're hawking $22 bracelets on Nesson telecasts. They're trying to sell you bracelets that have a Red Sox logo and beads that were made. I'm not kidding. This is during the game tonight. Beads that come from the water of Mount Everest. And this is after, in the telecast, they were pushing Liverpool because Liverpool announced today, the Fenway Sports Management, Fenway Sports Group, owned Liverpool. Liverpool announced today they've got three upcoming dates in the U.S., one at Notre Dame, right? One at Notre Dame, one somewhere else I'm forgetting, and one at Fenway Park. Is the other one at Yankee Stadium?
No, they wouldn't do that.
You
they
sure?
They wouldn't swap that, I don't think.
I think it was Yankee Stadium. Whatever it was. You know, like the first four innings of the Red Sox telecast, nobody's watching anyway because A, they're listening on the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network, and B, they're watching the Bruins. You're pushing Liverpool in bracelets. Mount Everest water bead bracelets. What are we doing? You want to turn the page? Go out and sign some people. Inject some life. Turn the narrative around. You won't have me bitching about the farm system so much if you can show me a roster for this year. A 25-man roster that makes me go, oh, all right, okay, they got this. They did everything they could. Because the whole plan was built around the 25-man this year and all that. Except they didn't really do enough for it. And if you don't do enough for that, you don't got enough in the farm system. What do you got? What do you got? You got this crap that you're seeing now. Oh, they make me so mad, Joe. I'm not even a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, but when you cover them, you get that sort of bond. And you just you
oh,
have
boy,
to go,
do I get a bond with these guys. Let me tell you.
Oh, I bet they love you.
The bond at Fenway Park, I'm sure. I'm sure they gather around the radio every time we're on talking about them. I hope they do. hope they do. We're speaking truth here.
Well, I mean, we're probably doing a little better than Cora. Cora, I think, needs to be a little more aggressive.
What do you want him to do?
I just want him to show some fire. Like, the guy's been ejected once since last year. Like, show some fire.
I bet it is killing. And we'll see if OMF digs into this a little bit tomorrow. I bet it is killing him because he is a fiery dude. He's a cocky dude. You know, maybe he's a little shook at the moment, but I guarantee you he has wanted to put a hole through many a wall, if not many of his players' chests, in this run. I guarantee you he's had to show some self-restraint.
And I hope I definitely agree with that. And I hope eventually it breaks and it kind of opens up the team that, you know, he's a player's manager. He's there to keep guys intact, and he's a smart manager. But I think finally when he breaks, this team can realize, okay, no more joking around. Our coach actually needs
it. And it's not just joking around. I mean, last year they never really ran into trouble.
Everything was natural.
I would say this is the biggest test they've faced. And the only thing I would hedge on that is if you go back to last year's postseason, it was losing game three of the World Series. Going to Yankee Stadium after Aaron Judge is blasting New York. Yeah, maybe. But in terms of like a prolonged stretch of disappointment and unhappiness and anger maybe setting in the clubhouse, you never had that last year. Everything was rosy and sunny. It's like listening to WEI. I mean, it's basically the same thing that the Red Sox are going through last year. So there is an underlying question of how does this clubhouse and group of guys respond? It's not simply, they play better. I mean, some of your play is, I think, to some degree dictated by mindset. Can they pull themselves up by the bootstraps? Do they have the internal leaders, a little leader? I am a leader, I'll tell you that. Going to be leading the Red Sox real soon. Things keep going this way. I'm Evan Drellick. Joe Cortez behind the glass. This has been Red Sox plus Bruins review. I'll see you tomorrow night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.